from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
They're longtime friends.
Let me tell you something real quick about Dibs that I'm sure not everybody knows.
And first-time partners.
Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Now these two homegrown Bay Area boys finally come together to take over sports talk.
Get the hell off of my doorstep.
Major League Baseball, you stink.
It's Willard and Dibs. On 95.7, The Game.
No, that's exciting, Lucas. Rob Nen's going to be on in 45 minutes. Did you play with Bobby Nen?
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
I actually want to get out of the way and ask you a question. Easy. Right out of the gate.
Hold on. Let me get my headphones on.
Yeah. Set like be ready to do a radio show.
I like the musical chairs after the handoff.
I know.
Thing.
It's a little challenging, but nobody wants to hear us complain.
Not complaining.
We have stupid
that's
jobs.
That's my other Friday complaint. I don't like the musical chairs after the handoff.
Yeah.
What's the question? Shoot. Wait, can't say that. What's the question?
What does this weekend mean to you? You put on both of these uniforms, and this is the last Bay Bridge series we're ever going to have.
You're trying to make me cry right out of the gate?
Yeah, I am. Not going to make me cry, Roy. Not going to make me cry. Here, I'm going to crack a drink in Utah.
No, man, I feel bad for A's fans, man. They're the most hardcore fans I've ever been around. And I say this all the time publicly. Like, 15,000 at the Coliseum back in the day was like 40,000 in other places.
Okay.
Like, they brought it. The passion, the knowledge of the players, the drums out left. It was incredible. And I have a lot of friends that work for the organization right now. They're in limbo land. They don't know what's going on. I think the whole organization's in limbo land. So for such a storied franchise to win all the World Series and to have all those great teams in the 2000s that never made it to the World Series that we couldn't get out of the first round for whatever reason, but we thought we had the best team in baseball. There's a part of me that I'm going because I want to be there. And I don't know that I get into the whole Bay Bridge rivalry series thing, A's Giants. And I think it's more for the fans. I never really understood it, being on both sides of it.
I can explain it, but go ahead.
It's just because I've been a fan, as a player. It's just whatever.
It's a different energy in the building.
It is.
It's a totally different energy. I have one of the weirdest Bay Bridge series memories that probably won't mean much to anybody. But the first time I went to a sporting event when crowds were allowed back in after cardboard cutout time was a Giants-A's game. Sean Manaea pitching for the A's at Oracle Park, and I sat real close right down the first base line, and it was the first time I had sat next to somebody in a major event in 2 years because of COVID, and the energy felt electric and memorable to me.
So I was getting to the good part about a kid growing up.
Yeah.
And going to A's games.
Let's hear it.
And going to the Coliseum and sneaking down to the bullpens that were down the lines and watching pitchers throw as a 12-year-old going, oh, my God, I'm never going to be able to hit that. And sitting right there, right when they got loose, throwing 95. And you're watching and you're like, I want to be a big league baseball player. I'm 12 years old. And look how fast this guy's throwing. Growing up in Detroit, moving out here when I was 7, every time the Tigers came into town, my dad and mom would take me to A's Tigers. And I got to see Mark Fitterich pitch the bird in his prime against the A's. And we waited outside down where the buses are And Mark, we had a ball that day, and Mark Fitterich waved. Back when buses had windows that would open, he slid the window open. Yeah. He was leaning out, and it was like, I mean, he was a rock star. And there was people cheering, and he waved to my dad and threw the ball up to him, signed it. I still have a Mark Fitterich autograph
ball.
So I have tons of memories of going to both the Coliseum and Candlestick Park as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, this isn't about a broadcaster or a player, because I did the A's pregame shows for a couple of years over at Comcast, Sportsnet Bay Area, and I've been a broadcaster for the Giants. I've played for both teams. So all of those things. I mean, that's why I'm here today, so keep playing them as long as you can. Yeah,
It's a sign of endearment. I want everyone to know that. I don't take offense anymore to the drips. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, but it is a sign of endearment. Yeah. But it's more for me as a kid growing up this series,
okay,
and going to both ballparks and sneaking down to the good seats. And when I was at Cal my freshman year, we'd be sitting around our house, which was in Oakland, and we'd look at each other at about, I don't know, 6 o'clock after practice, and we'd go, want to go to the A's game tonight? So we'd all pile in the car as freshmen in college, grab those big beers and sit out in the bleachers and watch the A's play. We didn't care whoever.
Right.
We're playing college. We're like, oh, this is big league baseball. So I probably went to just as many A's games as a kid as I did Giants games, even though I grew up more of a Giants fan as a kid, going to Candlestick Park and rooting against the Giants late in the game for tie games so I get a quad day candlestick on the way out. I used to root for extra innings because I wanted the quad day candlestick so bad. Even though the Giants maybe were ahead 3-2 in the ninth,
yep,
whoever they were playing, just score one because I want the quad day candlestick.
No, those buttons were a sign, man.
And
those,
we used to, in high school, my friend had an El Camino. Remember the El Caminos that were like pickup trucks?
Sure, of course.
We'd pile in the back of the El Camino from Folsom, California, and drive down I-80 in the summer, laying down in the back of an El Camino. My hat blew off in Vallejo on I-80, and we would go to games. We'd get home at 1 in the morning because it was 2 hours. We did this all the time.
Yep.
So for me, like, I know the A's are apparently moving to Sacramento, and that's cool for some of my family members that might get to see baseball there, but there's a lot of ties in a lot of different ways as a fan, as a player, as a broadcaster to both of these teams. So that's why I'm going this weekend, kind of like a closure sort of thing.
No, I love that. And I think we'd immediately love to put it out to each and every one of you, especially A's fans, obviously. Giants fans are going to have a different sort of an angle on this, although you're certainly welcome to weigh in. That's who I am. I'm a Giants fan. I'm going to weigh in on this. But 888-957-9570 on what this weekend means to you. You said you're not really clear sort of on the rivalry, and I would argue that's not the right word for it. Like, I never grew up, quote, hating the A's. I did that. That's not what it was. I went to some games in Oakland. I went to a lot more at Candlestick. I'm a Peninsula kid, and I'm a Giants fan. But yeah, there were times where, whether it was just because of access or a player you wanted to see or a friend who might have been an A's fan, and they're like, hey, we're going to the game, you'd invite me, I'd go to the game. And then there was the A's playing the Dodgers in 1988, and I'm 13 years old, and I do, with capital letters, H-A-T-E, the Dodgers. And so when those two teams played in 1988, I became a huge A's fan for the month of October. And then I was heartbroken when Kirk Gibson and Mickey Hatcher and all that stupidity that unfolded when the A's were the way better team in 1988. But the Dodgers win the World Series, and then it lasted for a year, where I was kind of into the Bash Brothers. I went to one of those playoff games that year in 1988, caught a batting practice ball out in the outfield. Like, I got into it a little bit, and then it got ruined. Then it got ruined in 1989 because Jose Canseco called Will Clark a three-toed sloth, and the two teams played one another in the World Series, and we here on the San Francisco side of this will forever feel like the whole thing got robbed from us. Not that the Giants were the better team, but the experience, we were robbed. It's the same feeling I had when Brock Purdy's arm fell off in Philly. It's not we would have won. It's, wait, I wanted to see that. I wanted to see that unfold.
Plus,
and we never got to see it unfold. And from that moment forward, it's not that I hated the A's, but there was hurt feelings there. And so it's sort of the way a USC fan describes the rivalry with UCLA versus the rivalry with Notre Dame. UCLA, they hate. Notre Dame, there's like this respectful but kind of tension. And that's how I would describe my view of the A's as a Giants fan.
That World Series, the Earthquake Series, like the World Series is the most important thing in the world. And, you know, as a kid growing up, and I think I was in college then.
I was 14.
And I don't feel like, I think we just all got robbed because then it was just, those were just games all of a sudden.
Totally.
It wasn't the World Series
anymore.
Nobody cared. Because there was way more important things going on. People were dying. You know, the bridge, the marina. Oh. On the other side, the Nimitz, all that stuff. So, yeah, it just became like, even though they delayed it, those were just baseball games after that. And maybe the players felt that way, too.
They did. One of them said it. It actually crushed me as a four. I can't remember which one it was. But one of them was quoted as saying, before game three happened, honestly, I could take it or leave it at this point.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm done. Who cares? Who cares? And then the Giants came out and played like, who cares? And it was over.
Didn't Jose Canseco drive home in his uniform from Candlestick, and he was with Esther, his wife at the time? Is that was her name, right?
I think so.
And then he had his uniform on in his like Ferrari with his cleats, and he was like pumping gas.
Probably.
Can you imagine that seeing Jose like in his uniform, like full uniform with the World Series patch on it, pumping gas with his wife or girlfriend in the car, whatever it was at
that
time?
Don't you think if that happened, like if you were at the gas station and he pulled up in his uniform, you'd be like, I think I'm dreaming right now. Yeah. That's not a real thing. Jose still in his in his uniform. Yeah. Anyway, that's how I describe it. And I've held that forever. I don't have anything, quote unquote, against the A's. But there's a different energy there. And that's gone. And then the other thing I was thinking about with this, and this is where I want to be very, very deliberate with the way I deliver this, because I don't want to offend any A's fan, because I really do, from the bottom of my heart, I feel for all of A's fans. However, I also feel like this is not new. We've known that something was wrong for a long time. You've been treated like crap for a long time. I see the A's to their fans as an abusive relationship. And so from that perspective, 2024 does not feel like the year that loss happened with the A's. It happened a while ago. They're still here, sort of, in theory. But if you want to look at the team and its fan base as a relationship, it's been an abusive one, a bad one, one that you should leave for a long time now. So I look at the A's and go, I really wish in the grand scheme that you weren't leaving, but if you're going to behave like you have the last 7 to 10 years, go. Get out of here. I have no interest in anything about you, and I feel for the fans that are conflicted with that. I understand. I hope you understand. I don't mean I don't want you to have a team, and I don't want you to have baseball, and I don't want the East Bay to have pro sports. I think it should have all of those things. But if you're going to behave like John Fisher has behaved, go. Leave everyone alone. You're awful.
Yeah, but the frustrating part for A's fans is that they would love a new owner.
Yes.
And a new ballpark.
If Joe Lacob would buy the team, you'd come back.
And just put it right where it is. Just, I mean, Anaheim, the big, I mean, they redid that.
Yes.
It's a beautiful ballpark. I mean, you already have the parking. You already have a building. Just refurbish that and make it sweet. And then start, like, actually spending money on players. And keeping players and not be the minor league system for the rest of the league.
I don't know,
like,
man.
I played in Montreal. I know what that's like. And the A's have been that way. I mean, it comes to Jason Giambi, see ya. Eric Chavez, see ya. Miguel Tejada, see ya.
Yep.
Zito, see ya. Hudson, see ya. Mulder, see ya.
You could do this for an hour. You know what I mean?
I could
name those names. It's crazy.
Ricky Henderson, see ya. Reggie Jackson, see ya.
It's not even, like, that's the biggest aspect, but I also think, and you can speak to this even more, although, like, what years did you play there?
Just one, 2001. We're 162.
And how would you describe the way you were treated in the facilities at that time?
Unbelievable.
Okay.
Maybe the families, the way they took care of us. It's the most fun I ever had playing baseball,
really?
Period. I mean, even though I got the fantasy camp year with the Giants and growing up a Giants fan and wearing that jersey and playing catch with Barry Bonds between innings, and it hit me like in the fourth inning that I'm warming up with Barry Bonds between innings when I was in center and he was in left, and just be playing catch with him going, this is so cool. I'm playing catch with Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
But the A's we're a family. Like that group, Jason Giambi called us the Island of Misfit Toys.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a release player from here, release player from there, Billy Bean waiver wire, this, and then all of a sudden we're winning every single night. And I've told the stories millions of times. We all went out together. We all hung out together. It was literally 25 guys that generally loved each other. And it was the best workplace environment I've ever been around in my life.
And that was 23 years ago. And yeah. I would argue in the last, and I don't know what the exact number is, 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever, from a facility standpoint, from the way they've treated their fans, what's there for the fans at the ballpark, what's there for the players on the background, what's there for the people who work there for the Oakland A's. And again, I want another special shout out to anybody who's lost their job through this.
Yeah,
my heart goes out to each and every one of you at such a level, but you've been treated so awfully. So stop being abused. Go away.
That's easy to say, though, man.
I know it is.
When you've been an A's fan your whole life and you've been loyal to the organization and loyal to the franchise and all your favorite players and your best memories as a baseball fan or in the Coliseum or whatever the hell they call it
now. But there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, but it's hard to just say, I'm done with you, screw you. That's easy to say, but it's not. It's hard to do.
Of course it is. Just like any abusive relationship, it's hard to leave. But that's how I view it. That's how I view it. We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems. Would love your calls on what this weekend means. The Bay Bridge Series coming to an end. 888-957-9570. FP's in for dibs. I joked earlier today. I wonder, gosh, who could we find that's played for both teams that we could talk to about this?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to Will.
Lillard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right. What's going on? And I knew this was coming, and I just want to get it out front right away, and then we're going to go to the phones. And, yeah, we do have FP Santangelo, who played for both of these teams, and we do have Rob Nen coming up in a half hour as we head into a two-game series in Oakland that will be the final Bay Bridge series of our lives, and that's super sad. Most of your texts recently after I said what I said a few minutes ago were really good. I do want to address, because I know this is out there, and appropriately, it's from the 510 area code. Willard is a bleeping hypocrite. Ain't no way he's talking about the A's like his weak-ass Giants is any better. Okay, please understand, I'm not talking about baseball. I'm not talking about the standings. I'm not talking about if you don't like the signing that your team had. I'm not talking about if you don't like that the farm system development isn't quite how you want it. I'm not saying the Giants are doing awesome right now, because they're not, because 61-61 is actually not that cool. So the Giants have all kinds of issues, but they don't flick their fans in the face in the same way. I understand some of you feel maybe that to a degree they do. Like, yes, they've got a truckload of money, and they have said publicly, we'd like to break even, and all these mistakes that they've made. But if you think that what the Giants are doing to their fans right now is in any way, shape, or form comparable to the disingenuous nature of a John Fisher or a Dave Cavill, who have just lied to your face for years and are now taking a team out of town when they don't even know if they have a new home. Come on. You can't compare that to Marco Luciano got sent down too soon. These are not comparable situations. So this is not elevating the current state of the Giants. We're talking about a different level of treatment. And I've been through this. I've been in markets twice where I've watched teams that I'm not emotionally attached to do this to their fans. And it's gross. I watched the San Diego Chargers do the exact same thing. It's disgusting. There is purposeful behavior by executives who are skirting the rules by acting like they're trying to stay when they are simply financially motivated by the grass is greener and the expense is you, the fan. I've watched it twice, and I find it to be the most disgusting thing that happens in professional sports. That's all.
Yeah. The one thing I would say in A's fans' defense right now, that they're hurting. And when you're hurting, you're probably more sensitive than you normally are.
Fair.
Because their team is like, this is it. Right?
Zip.
You hear it all these years, and you're like, they're going to work something out. No way they're leaving. Ooh, they might leave. Oh, I hope they don't leave. And now they're leaving. And they're going to Sacramento, and they're playing in a minor league park. And you work your whole life as a player to see that third deck and to play in a big league park. And Aaron Judge is going to play at Sutter Healthcare Field next year. So, I mean, I will say this as a native Sacramentan. And growing up in the 916, I truly believe that, I mean, nobody wants to hear this right now, right? Because you're still grieving. That the team will not move from Sacramento. That's not a basketball town, and they supported the Kings from day one, and they're still supporting the Sacramento Kings.
So you think they're not going to end up in Vegas?
It's a baseball town. Sacramento's a baseball town.
You think they're going to stay in Sacramento?
I mean, if you have a 30,000-seat stadium there, they're going to sell it out for years.
Well, I mean, that'd be better than Vegas.
They'll sell it out every night versus having a touristy kind of industry where everyone's coming to see their team play the A's. That's the way it was in D.C. for a long time. Before the Nationals established a home fan base, it was, oh, we're in D.C., but we're Cubs fans. Let's go to the game and root for the Cubs.
Sure.
And we've moved to D.C. from wherever, and we'll root our team against. And that's what Vegas would be to me. They'd be like, you're on vacation in Vegas, and oh, your team is playing there. Or you're going to see your team play the A's in Vegas. So let's gamble for a couple days, go to three A's games.
Yeah, that's what Raiders games
let's
are.
Let's have my bachelor party at A's games.
Sure, for sure.
But you would have more of a family atmosphere in Sacramento where you could sell season tickets and sell that park out if you can expand that park to a reasonable amount of people for years and years and years. I don't know. I could be way off here.
Well,
would be the first time I was wrong, but I feel like Sacramento, they're going to be the Sacramento A's for a long time. Well, if this all happens.
That would be better, to be honest with you. It's lipstick on a pig, but it would be better. I mean, at least if you're in the East Bay, well, then they're 90 minutes away. That's not great, but there are a lot of cities in America where you got to drive a little bit to actually catch pro sports. So, again, yeah, none of this comes from a lack of sympathy.
I like my baseball family-oriented, where you bring your family to a game, and then you generations and generations learn to love the game of baseball.
Course.
And if it goes to Vegas, it's going to be girls dancing on the dugout with Diplo in the outfield as the DJ, and it's just going to be... It's just not going to be. I don't think it's going to be conducive to families coming to a game. Where Sacramento, you're bringing your family and you're developing generational fans of the A's or just baseball in general.
Vegas is the least baseball city in America. Maybe Miami. I don't understand why it's there either, and nobody goes to those games either. So yeah, I think it's a horrible idea. I hope they do stay in Sacramento. Yeah, my point today is born out of the fact that, and I know this because I've done this now for a lot of years, and I know it bothers some A's fans because it's not coming from an A's fan. I'm not an A's fan. But my opinion is born out of hating the way I've watched y'all get treated. So I've never really understood why what I say. I get what you're saying. They're hurting. I've never understood why what I say lands as controversial to you. I hate the way you've been treated. If you would like to continue to be treated that way, that is up to you. But that's my take from across the bay. I can't stand watching the way you've been treated for years now. And I know that that's conflicted. I get it because it's your baseball team. But there's somebody who there are people who run that team and they've been awful to you.
And there's a lot of good people over there too.
Sure, sure. Yeah. That's
I owe Billy Bean a ton for taking a chance on me and let me experience playoffs for the only time in my major league career. And then letting me coach in Sacramento the next year. I was Bob Guerin's bench coach for the Rivercats and player coach. Like Pete Rose, but I wasn't betting on the games. I would play for a week and then coach for a week and play for a week and coach for a week.
What, does the drip drop need like a break or something? Because it's been on, like, come on. Guys, like, I was a player coach in Sacramento. I'm like, of everything we've said today, this deserves it the most.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Just sleeping at the wheel in there, those kids.
Nah, I think he just felt bad. He's like, I think I've hit this thing already. Like, I've already hit my quota for the day.
So there's I'll just break this button if I click it as many times as I'm supposed to.
Yeah, do it. Break it.
All right, let's talk them out,
But I will say that, Mark, I'm going to push back a little bit to what you said.
Okay.
I don't think A's fans need your sympathy.
You're
saying, like, I feel so bad for... I mean, we all feel bad for A's fans, but, like, they decided to be A's fans. They knew what they signed up for.
Did they?
Yeah.
I don't think that's true
at all. You just said this has been happening since we played for the A's 23 years ago.
There was rumors of the TV. If you're 50 years old, you didn't sign up for this. You started watching baseball when Bash Brothers were the coolest thing in the world.
I think if you're an A's fan, you have every right to be pissed off.
Who's saying they don't?
I don't think they want us to feel sorry for them.
I don't care if they want that. That's what you get.
A's fans are hardcore, man.
I know, but I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for how I feel. You don't need to ask for my sympathy. You have it. You can reject it. I don't care. That's how I feel. You've been treated like crap by a terrible owner. I can say that. That's not crazy.
Well, they know that.
Okay.
People also
know Brandon Ayuk's holding out. Didn't stop us from saying it every day.
I feel bad for Brandon Ayuk.
No, you don't.
I feel bad.
Stop it.
$28 million or $30 million.
By the way, there is some Brandon stuff today that's not Brandon. It's not the same. It's not the same. There's actual audio from two different people that are not Brandon that you're going to need to hear, so we're going to get to that.
It's a tease.
We're going to get to it. I'll skip to the end. Brandon, I said it yesterday, so I'll say it again. This is not a source report. Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams are going to have Niner jerseys on Monday night, September 9th, at Levi's Stadium, with pads underneath them and helmets that fit and shoes and tight pants and all of that, sweat, everything. That's happening on September 9th. I have never been more confident. Okay.
What if we're missing? What if we're missing the boat on this? And Trent Williams is the one we should be worried about. No. And everybody's talking about Ayuk.
No. Trent,
what if possibly. He holds out? What if he holds out for like 5 weeks? And we're sitting here all Ayuk. He's on fire.
Look me in the eyes. He won't. Look me in the eyes.
All right.
He's gonna play week one.
All right. I believe you.
Lujan in Oakland. Hey, Lujan, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back, Wilder at FP. Always love to hear you on the airways. Had a couple questions and a couple reflections. So I'm a Bay Area kid, grew up loving all sports, baseball player. I wondered, FP, if you have any of the Mother's Cookies card kits back in the day. You kind of triggered me when you're saying sneaking into the good seats. It's been sad, but also, some happy reflections, man. I mean, my first Little League camp was on the field at the Coliseum with Luis Polonia, out in the outfield, throwing us fly balls, and Willie McGee used to throw batting practice to us at Contra Costa College, and he hit fly balls to us in Nickel Park in Richmond. I grew up switch hitting, based on Will Clark's crazy swing and Cardi Lansford's wild style. So a lot of good memories, man. But definitely sad to see him go. And I love the idea of Sacramento. Just didn't know if you had any of those, FP, and just wanted to share, guys.
Okay. Lujan, thanks, man. I appreciate it. You know where he just hit me? The Mother's Cookies cards. I had someone did this for me as a gift when I was a kid. I think it was my uncle. Who had some sort of, I think he worked for Safeway, so he was kind of attached as a corporate sponsor to a lot of the teams here. And so he got me uncut the full Giants and A's, both, the full set uncut of Mother's Cookies trading cards, and then had them encased in plastic that could hang on the wall. I had both of them above my bed, Giants and the A's, and I would stare at the Canseco and Maguire cards. And
like strangely,
and feel conflicted because
about
I'm like,
what?
Because after '89, I was bothered by them. I'm like, get off my wall! You
what
world,
were you conflicted
you,
about?
You
Mark?
World Series winners, get off my wall!
Oh yeah, okay. I have these cards. I know what they're talking about.
Yeah, they were amazing.
I definitely
they were on
have
my
these.
Wall. My mom's probably still got them somewhere. Maybe not. Anyway, Filmo Mike's on the line with Willard and FP. What's up, Filmo?
Hey, what's up, man? It's just, you right, forever pimping, was popping.
what's up, Phil?
The shady thing about Oakland? Oakland has had some of the most dynamic and baseball players to ever come up out of Oakland. I played Babe Ruth, shout out to Fillmore. I'm from Fillmore, obviously. I played for Hamilton. Going to Oakland was always... We knew that we're going to have some brothers in there throwing fast, and they're going to be playing hard. Look at Dave Stewart and Ricky Henderson. Them all through the 80s and 90s, I mean, me playing baseball, I know it's not like that now, but they had a lot of players coming from the town going crazy. Shout out to, I think the A's just drafted somebody from Richmond. I forgot his name, but his last name is Green. Shout out to them. But another thing I want to talk about is that they don't, they've always done the Oakland A's fan base kind of dirty. And the sad part is they've had, in the 90s, they had some good solid teams. Terry Steinbach, when Mark McGwire was hurt for them years and they had to trade him to St. Louis, man. It's super sad to see the A's go. Now to the Giants, what we got to do is, to get free agents, Mark, we got to start marketing the whole Bay. You can't just come, and then you need to do a historical tour of each neighborhood of Frisco. Yeah, take them to, because Frisco got a lot of cool stuff. You know what I'm saying? The red light district, what used to be called as Broadway now. Take them, let them know all about our history, man. That's how we get them back. And kudos to the A's. And I hope they stay in SAC. I hate Vegas.
Well, you had me until I hate Vegas, but I understand the point.
I don't like Vegas either.
You don't like Vegas?
I think I'm getting old.
Like, you don't like a weekend in Vegas?
I understand the idea. In 20 years.
Oh.
Maybe like 17, 18.
You'd have a good time in Vegas.
Have a good time.
Yeah.
On a Tuesday night at, I don't know, a dive bar in North Beach. So, yeah, I'd have a good time.
You're fine. But I hear you. I wouldn't want to live there. I wouldn't want to have season tickets to anybody's team there. Sacramento would be way better. I think, you know, what Filmo's saying is probably a conversation that's going to develop at least not for 2 to 3 years from now, where you're talking about marketing baseball to the entire Bay Area, basically to the Giants. Woo, that's now that I understand as being controversial. That's a ways away. The idea of an A's fan becoming a Giants fan, if they truly do go far away. But who knows where they're going to end up? And who knows if it's Sacramento, I think that they will keep a large portion of their fan base.
But I mean, we used to drive up from Sacramento to Oakland all the time. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I agree. I'm rooting for Sacramento to do this right.
I mean, that'd be better than Vegas. I'm with you.
In maybe the Kings owner, who I'm drawing a blank out his name right now.
And Vivek.
Yeah. I heard nothing but cool things about that dude from a lot of people that hang out with him.
Mm.
You know, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but maybe he buys the A's in Sacramento.
Well, and I don't even know this. What are the rules? If what does happen to the River Cats?
They're staying there.
But can the A's be permanent residents of Sacramento and have a AAA team in the same town?
Yeah.
You're allowed to do that?
They're putting AstroTurf on the field because of all the games they're going to be played, so they have to schedule both teams next year.
Okay, but
it's going to be a circus.
No, but are you allowed to do that? Like, could there be a AAA team in San Francisco? Is that even allowed?
I don't think it is.
Yeah, so if the Sacramento A's became a thing, the River Cats would have to go to Folsom.
The Folsom River
or
Cats.
Something.
That'd be cool,
you
actually.
You know what I mean? Like, they'd have to, you can't, I don't think you can be, you can be close. You know, the Everett Aqua Sox are right up from Seattle. Obviously, the San Jose Giants are right down the road. But, like, you can't, I don't think you can be in the same city as a major league team.
It's going to be such a cluster, you know what, next year. My goodness.
Yep, and this is going to take a while now. The whole thing. There's so many staircases or steps on the staircase left. Something. You know what I meant. Anyway. Bob, let's go to Bob.
I don't know why I found that so funny.
Because
it was
stupid. Anyway, hi, Bob. What are you doing?
Hey, I love the show, guys. I'm just listening to it while I'm working. And it's wonderful. I love you. The show yesterday just cracking me up. I just loved it. But anyway, today is nice. I sympathize with the A's fans. I'm a San Francisco 49er fan, and they play in San Jose. So, you know, we lost our team, and that's the way I feel about it. And I think a lot of San Franciscans feel that way about it. Now, it could have been politics, or it could have been the Yorks, you know, whatever it was, we lost it. So, you know, yeah, there's that driving. It wouldn't be as far as Sacramento, but, you know, it's still, it's not in San Francisco. So that kind of hurts, you know?
Totally get it.
I'm with you. I could not agree with you more. I don't go to 49ers games. I don't. I get tickets all the time. I'm very lucky. And my friends have tickets. They let's go. I just know.
Let's talk during the break. But
it's
anyway,
too far.
I get it.
I get it.
I'm not going to be disingenuous. I don't. I don't feel it's too far.
It's too far.
Mine's kind of circumstantial. You know what I mean? Like I will go when we have the weeknight games, when it's Monday or Thursday, because our show usually ends up being down there. We do the show. We go to the game. Outside of that, I've got the Sunday show. That makes it very, very difficult to go. And in general, going to football, especially that's far away on a Sunday, I wonder where that's going to go in the next 20 years, because the popularity of being able to watch Red Zone and all the other games and all that, like if you go to a football game on a Sunday, you miss all of the other games. And I know a lot of people who just don't want to do that. It's not worth it to them. But if it's standing on its own, I'd drive 2 hours for a 49er game. NFL, come on, man. There's just not that many of them. Baseball's different. You know, how often would you drive an hour and a half, 2 hours to go to a baseball game?
I guess I'm just spoiled.
Yeah.
I don't like the traffic. I don't like the parking situation there. I do like partying in Green Lot, though. That's always fun.
Dude, you got to just go in the morning. You got to like burn your whole day. Burn your whole day. I'm telling you, those 49er games, they're at 5:20 because our show starts at 2. When you cruise in at 12:30 in the afternoon, it's a piece of cake. But you're there for the whole day.
And if you don't leave early, you're stuck for a while.
You are there for the whole day. Let's keep going. How about Doug in San Jose? Hi, Doug. What's up?
Hey, how's it going? First time caller, 95.7.
Thanks, man.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Gotcha.
From San Jose, 62. So I've been an A's fan since 1969. So I grew up with Reggie and Vida and Catfish and all that. Really into the sports in the Bay Area, Raiders, Warriors. Went to 49er games with my stepdad and actually saw O.J. Simpson and Delvin Williams and all of these guys play for the Niners. So pretty well-versed on what's been going on in the Bay Area. I respect your opinion about the A's and the A's fans and what the A's have kind of management has done to the A's fans over the years. But people have to remember that the Giants blocked the A's with territorial rights that don't exist for any other teams in Major League Baseball and stop the A's from moving. And that would have changed the whole scenario for the Raiders and the A's. So a lot of that response.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong in being upset about that. I do think sometimes discussing that gets a little bit presumptuous. The Giants did what they did. I don't think by any stretch that it's just like, and if they hadn't snapped fingers, then the A's would be in San Jose and it would be done. Like, how many times have we learned, Doug, that like building a building in a city in California, my God, it's rocket science. It's that hard. There's so many hoops to jump through. But I'm not going to argue with you with regard to, if you're an A's fan and you're mad that the Giants blocked the A's, I totally get it.
I think it definitely affected the scenario because the Giants did get turned down with four separate votes for a stadium in the Bay Area, and they didn't really get that stadium built until the A's helped them with verbal territorial rights. So the A's actually helped them, and because the monetary value tied up with the new ownership and what territorial rights are and attaching money to that is what tied up the whole thing. And Bud Selig really just kind of let that all die without doing anything about it, really.
So I don't,
Major League Baseball let that all happen, too.
This is not a homer take. I don't blame the Giants one bit.
Thanks, Doug.
For not allowing the A's to move into their territory, because I lived it for a decade where I would hear from Nationals fans all the time that I used to be an Orioles fan. We used to drive to Baltimore, which is the exact same distance as San Francisco is to San Jose. And so the Orioles lost tons of fans when the Nationals moved to D.C., I don't know if they would have lost fans, but like the San Jose portion of it, for sure.
That's 100%, especially since they have a minor league team there, too. I'm actually agreeing with you. What I'm saying is, if you're an A's fan and that bothered you, I'm not going to argue with you, but I'm with you. I understand why the Giants did it. That's business. Sorry.
Yeah.
And by the way, the Giants didn't get their stadium done until they had a savior come in and privately finance it. Like, the idea of public funds going to a stadium in California is and has been over. And that's why I get so bothered by relocations, because there are rules before you relocate that you have to put forth a good faith effort to stay. And these greedy owners do the same thing every time. They build a ballot initiative that calls for some form of public funds, and they know damn well it's going to lose. And then they go, we tried. Bye. I hate it. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. We'll keep taking your calls on this all afternoon long. What does the Bay Bridge series for the final time mean to you? And Giant, great, and a good friend of FP's, Rob Nen, is going to join us next on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.